Benjamin can have love for the trucky. Beautiful minds, but we love getting ugly. Risk takers with a clover, man, we love getting lucky. You run, we chase fire, I love when it ducks me. Tones go off, house watch, read the address out. 1075, get up off the magic couch. 500 gallons prepared for the baddest drought. Who else you want on the way when disaster's out? Can't even get a little bit rattled when you enter with exit apparel. Mayday member down, they'll drag you. You won't get this from every Tom, Dick, and Harold. But here's a view from the top floor with Mickey Farrell.
What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in for another episode. Today, I'm in North Carolina on the road with the Training Days Conference here in North Carolina. And next week, I'll be in Alabama with the Southern Alabama Firefighters High Training. So the next few episodes, we'll be doing it from the road. So the sound quality might not be the same as the studio, but I want to give you some fresh content and keep up to date and be consistent with this. So thanks for tuning in. My last episode, I talked about work-life balance, and I expected some pushback. And with that, I did get some, not so much pushback, but some good discussion. We have Brandon Lewis from Atlanta Fire Rescue joining me today, a good friend of mine. And he has some thoughts as well about the work-life balance and how it's not necessarily changing as we move forward, but I think we're being unfair to the next generation of firefighters coming into this job with the understanding that there is a work-life balance your first few years. And, you know, I think what we got lost in my last episode was that, or should I say lost in the short clips that were posted on social media, is that people just listened to the clip. They didn't listen to the full episode. And that's where really it got into detail about understanding what that meant, what I was speaking of as far as work-life balance and how you have to be all in your first year and the consecutive years that come right after that. The pushback came mainly from that short clip that I posted. I didn't really get any messages about the actual episode. I got positive messages about the episode, but I got negative on the clip. So the clip talks about being all in. And with that clip, I'm not sure people could translate what that meant as far as 20 years, 25 years, 30 years being all in, having no work-life balance. And I don't believe in that at all. I think there has to be a work-life imbalance once you get past those first few years. And that's why I truly believe that this job is a young man's job, physically, but also with the commitment to it. You have to be all in. So Brandon had a few comments that went back and forth with some of the people that commented on the social media account. And I figured we have him on and we talk about it. So Brandon, thanks for joining me. So what is your background, or should I say, what is your opinion with the understanding? I mean, you have some really well-written comments comparing other careers, other paths in life that kind of paralleled the fire service.
Yeah, I when I seen the episode, I see the clip, right? And it kind of made me, it put me in the mind of, it actually gave me a feeling of nostalgia. I think I told you on the phone the other day, how in the beginning when I started, and I tell you, I started in a little bit smaller department in Columbus when I was 20. And that was like the only thing I had going on was the fire department at the time. And it kind of made me, it put me back in the mindset of that. And the, like you said, the all-in attitude and just spending the grander majority of my time doing things that make me better as a firefighter, or everything that I was doing, should I say, at the time was dedicated to me being a better firefighter. So, of course, I go to work and I have my regular duty, but then you have class. And then you have, even the times I'm at the gym, I changed the way I was working out to try to work on, you know, where it may have been just strength or calisthenics before, or excuse me, it may have been just strength before, trying to add calisthenics because I know that I need to have that flexibility to be able to do this job. Constant reading, constant preparation, and then even being so indulged in that to the point where I found that like things that I was starting to like to do recreational may even came at the suggestion of other guys, because I'm in a career now, I'm in a spot now being a new firefighter where I am being exposed to a different group of people who I may not have been around before, right? So even some of the recreation and everything about your life at that time of beginning felt like it had a beginning or end at the firehouse, right? So I said that it wasn't just me. I said it to my wife. I told her about it. I said, "Hey, yeah, Mickey was saying this thing. I'll just check this out, whatever." Because she works at recruitment. She recruits people, and she does everything she can do to try to be honest to them about what the fire service is. And then she said, "Yeah, it's kind of like." She said, "Yeah, it's kind of like being a doctor." It is like being a doctor. It's like being a doctor or any other job, you say, that somebody's life hangs in the balance, right? And even if it's not your life, the stakes are high. You're a pro athlete. You make millions of dollars being a pro athlete. This is not a halfway thing you do. We see the guys on TV, but if you know anybody who's been a professional athlete or something, your first year in the NBA isn't just 82 games and then you go home. That's not how it works. It's so much you have to do to indulge yourself in the life now of being a pro athlete. And being a doctor, you have a residency where you don't make a lot of money. Even some of the blue collar jobs that we have that have a high stake, like say like electricians or one a good one. I had an uncle, he's an electrician. Don't make nothing, man, for the first like 4 years until you made journeyman, right? And the first 4 years, all he's doing is trying to take every single class that he can take to make the next step, to make the next step to get closer to his goal of eventually being a journeyman. So I thought that was, to me, I say it was a good comparison because it's one of those things that with us in the fire service, for some reason, we just undersell it. We shouldn't be selling the time off of the great benefits because there's a lot of hard work and there's a lot of dedication that you got to put into it in the beginning, almost to the point where you got to be so consumed by it, right? So, I mean, I feel like I'm just, going on and on about it, but
No, it's
excuse
good.
me.
So I mean, so like you said, we have an obligation either way. I mean, let's talk about sports. You're a professional athlete. You're the NBA. You have an obligation to your teammates, your coach, and to the fans, right? They're paying a lot of money to come see you play ball. Tim Grover, he's a great mindset coach for the NBA. He had Kobe, he had Jordan, right? And it's about the lifestyle. He talks about the cleaner, right? And the cleaner, he delivers the results regardless of the situation or conditions you perform under. And I think there's so much with that parlays into the fire service where we have to be able to be the cleaner. We have to show up day in and day out and be that guy. And guys like Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, right? It's about execution, trial and error, but it's an obligation you have to fulfill. And some of the comments we can go through them, but like you read them and they're saying, well, I'm not giving my all to the fire service because my life is my family life is far more important to make this my life. And there's truth to that. Family is always first. I'm never saying that, but that's again why when we have younger, or excuse me, when we have older people come into the job that have the family already, it's incredibly difficult for them to kind of get it. I know when we're recruiting young guys to come out of the academy, to come to firehouses, a lot of the guys are looking for kid or guys with no kids that are into sports because they understand the accountability factor. They understand that they'll prove themselves to be all in. And as far as the doctor, you were saying, so the residency with the doctor was 100 hours. And in 2003, I believe they lowered it to 80 hours, but it can be no more than two 24-hour shifts consecutively. Now, it's not healthy. I'm not saying this is a way of health, but again, it's a way of showing you're all in, and especially in the doctor world. I want a doctor, if they're going to operate on me or my family members, to have those hours logged, to have those mistakes made during their residency, corrected it, focused it, and then moved progressively forward throughout their career. So now when you're going in to sit down with a specialist, you know they're all in. They might have work-life balance now, and it's incredibly hard to maintain that. But in the beginning, there was none because they had a responsibility, they had an obligation.
I think that there's a it's like just like you said, there's a it's a direct correlation to how you perform and what you put in the beginning. Like you said, like when he goes and sits down with a specialist didn't become a specialist by doing the minimum. There are people who can exist in this world and exist on this job and do the minimum or come for the 6 weeks vacation. they exist. But one thing that I've always, you know, I guess held close to myself was that even though I'm doing things that take time away, even now, you know, even at this point in my career, when I do things that may take time away from my life or take time away from my family or whatever that is, right? I'm doing things that are going to ultimately allow me to enjoy my life and my family because I'm making myself better, which means by way of making myself more effective on the fire ground so I don't get injuries, so I don't get hurt, so I don't, you know, obviously end up paying the ultimate price at that, right? So to say it in the beginning, you know, you don't know anything. I used to have a captain that said that he would talk about how when you come on, you're young, you start with a lot of energy and a lot of strength. And as you get older, hopefully your experience is rising up with it, right? Because you always got to meet in the middle somewhere. That's the common denominator. That's the fire ground that we're all going to, right? Some of the guys start out with a lot of strength. Some of the guys start out with a lot of experience. And then hopefully where you aren't able to account for experience, you'll be able to account for its strength. Or where you're not able to account for technique, you can account for its strength. So me and you, before some doors for a little while, we got good technique. Young guy had before some doors at all, but he's strong enough. Hopefully he can just run through the thing, right? Anyways, I say all that to say, in the beginning, you don't have any of it. You don't have the experience at all. You're strictly, simply only relying on your physical capabilities. So you got to put in enough time to try to reach yourself to a level that we're all able to meet at on the fire ground, which means be able to perform in a way that we're all able to be effective together, right? So when you're that young guy, just full of strength, no technique, no experience, just full of strength, all you're doing is spending every minute that you can investing in yourself so that you're able to be on level with everybody else. The older guy, the senior man, he's a little bit older. He's a little bit slower, maybe not as physically capable, has enough experience and technique where he's able to be effective on the fire ground just as much as that 20-year-old who just came off the football field. You see what I mean? So then in the beginning, when you start, you have to put in 100% of yourself because you never know when that job that's going to call for all of the experience that you have to put on the table is going to come. You know, you can't take off, oh, you know what, whatever, I worked one day. Let me just go home and run my lawn care business for two. If you're not putting in time when you're not even there to try to add to yourself or make yourself better or try to put in your bucket of experience, you're just as dangerous day five as you were day one. And you never know when that job is coming in, so.
Yeah, you know, in the academy, we learn our skill and then we're tested. And then we're judged accordingly, right? Yeah. On the fire ground, we are tested in the moment, and then we learn from those mistakes. If we're not making those mistakes consecutively, we're not learning quick enough.
Yeah.
What I think is funny when I go through some of these comments that I got pushback on, and again, I get what they're saying. I'm not saying they're right or wrong. It's my opinion. That said, it blows my mind that someone would be willing to risk in a job that can kill us to take a personal day because they think that they want to clear their head. You're all in. So I was listening to a podcast recently and it was an interview with someone who was friends with Kobe Bryant. And they asked him, they straight up, they go, do you think Kobe Bryant would still have his work ethic and be all in and be the champion he was if he knew he was going to die young? Would he do it differently? Would he keep more in the tank? Not be practicing shooting hoops 3 a.m. Would you keep more of the tank and have a longer longevity of life if you can live longer? And without any hesitation, said absolutely not. He was all in, live a short life because that's who he was. He was basketball. It was a part of him. The fire service is the same. You want to be the best in this job. You want to be that cleaner. You have to be all in. And I think you said in recruitment, you know, you said your wife, just to clarify that, your wife works for Atlanta Fire Rescue doing recruitment.
Yeah.
So we've had this conversation where we're selling the next generation short because we're telling them, well, listen, you get 6 weeks paid vacation, unlimited sick, a lot of time off. You can do whatever you want. But they're not really telling you the commitment it takes, especially that first couple of years. And I think those first couple of years, by not being all in, it's a lack of respect for the senior guys that laid that groundwork that came long, long before you did. The guys that made and built the reputation of the fire company or fire department that you work for or work in, they lay that groundwork. And now you're coming in with your life work balance right off day one. I don't think you're doing any justice to what they've done before you.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the job of this work life balance works in a lot of places where you could put this down, but this is not a thing that you put down. So it's kind of weird to say work life balance even when we sell this. But she tells me a lot of times when she gets some of the biggest candidates she gets nowadays are looking for a job, and then that's it. They're not looking for a life, a lifestyle. And then, and you look around, we talk about it a little bit, but it's like, you never, some of the obligations, you find a point where some of the obligations that you have are with other firemen, your friends are other firemen, some of the, like we was talking about before, some of the things that you like to do, you've picked up from other firemen. So y'all got like interests and hobbies that are like, you may have training that you got to schedule it around. So it's not, I say all that to say, as much as it is a job, it's also a lifestyle too. And a lot of times we may undersell that aspect to say, well, you want to come be a firefighter. Well, you don't pick up and hang up this job. This is not one of those things. It becomes as a part of you as, you know, other things. I'm a fireman, but there are things like, there are things that we can't do when we're not on duty because it's a part of your life. The same way there are things that we do when we're off duty because it's a part of our life. The balance isn't really there. So in your first few formative years, the balance is almost out the window. You're trying to form, not only are you working a new job, but you have new employment, but you're trying to go from being what was a civilian to now becoming a firefighter. And that's not an obsessive thing. We all learned it that way when we started. And somewhere in the modern American fire service, sometimes we like to treat it like it's just a job, but it's not just a job. It's not something you pick up and put down. You can ask yourself that if you're off duty and something happened right now and you could help, would you? That's a lot you hear about guys getting like off-duty rescues, right? All right. It's not a job you put down. You're still a firefighter, even off. So where's the work-life balance in that? I mean, hanging out with my kids, I love it. Listen, let me tell you something. There's nothing in the world that I love to do as much as I love coaching my kids play basketball on my off days. But if I was driving to coach him at one of his games and I seen the ability for myself to be a help, we'd have to stop, man. We're a little bit late to that game. Because not only am I this, I'm a firefighter also, right? I can't just drive and look away from that. I can't just look past that. If I'm able to help you, I'm not going to let you just perish because of my work-life balance. It's a bad sell for the fire. It's a bad sell for the fire service. Yeah. You know, we don't leave it. I don't leave it when I just take off my company jacket and just hang it on my hook in the morning time. I leave in my Nike tech. All right, well, I'm done now. I'm still who I am, you know, and that's, we have to do a better job at letting people know it will become a part of you. It will become a part of you, like it or not, you know?
You know, I have an incredibly hard time with turning it off. I mean, for those of you that know me personally, I mean, obviously, even the ones that don't know me personally, I don't turn it off. I'm in North Carolina getting ready to speak tomorrow about firefighting. I should be home with my family, but this is just who I am, who I've become. And I wouldn't say it's my identity, but it's my love and my passion. It's so much more than a job to me. I feel the fire service in general, not about individualism. It's something about so much more. And having the ability to give back at this point has really consumed my life. And I do love it. And I do struggle with the work-life balance on this side of it, not the firehouse side of it. Firehouse is always first for me, number one.
Yeah.
Family, number one. But as far as firefighting world, firehouse, then this stuff. But this is something with the recruiting we were just talking about. This was one comment I had on a recent post. Recruitment is a major issue nationwide, with the applicant pool down 50% in recent years. Do you think this sentiment makes for the fire service more attractive to well-rounded applicants, or perhaps just blowhard whackers?
you know, that's okay. I'm going to say this with the assumption that and it has the ability to be edited and say, Brandon, that's probably a terrible idea. I'm going to say it, though, and then you tell me what you think.
Okay.
I don't think that well-rounded applicants really matters. And what I mean by that, is that I need you to be strong. I need you to be tough, dedicated to be as good as you can be in this job. I need you to be a lot of things. But college educated doesn't do nothing for me. What you look like doesn't do nothing for me. All those things don't. So, I mean, yeah, maybe, sure. Maybe if I tell you that you got to dedicate 80% of your time when you first start, we'll call it 85. We'll say 85% of your time when you first start this job should be dedicated to you being a better firefighter. And it attracts the kind of applicants that it attracts. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Your credentials are what they are. And it's not to say there's not a place in the fire service for everybody. But what I'm saying is that if we change our parameters and say, well, we're trying to get well-rounded people to be applicants, so we're going to sell them a version of our craft that doesn't exist, then we're doing ourselves a disservice. So maybe that's a bad answer to say it like that, but.
No, I think it's great. You know, when I taught Proby school, you'd see kids struggle. And then you pull them aside and say, listen, bro, what's going on? You're having a bad day? What's up? And then eventually they tell you, well, you know, I'm not good with tools. You know, I was an accountant before. I was a fireman. I'm not sure the job's for me. And I will look them right in the eye and say, bro, if your father made you a man, the FDNY will make you a fireman. But the key to it is you have to be willing and accepting to do just that. You can't not buy in. You have to buy into the brotherhood.
Yeah.
You have to buy in. If you're not going to buy in and you're going to resent it and push it off and say, well, I'm not about the brotherhood, then this job is not for you. And that's what I was talking about in the podcast, that if you want that work-life balance that corporate American can give you, if your 9-to-5 can give you, then maybe the fire service isn't for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's okay. We have to know that that's totally acceptable in order for us to continue to keep it pure. It's not fair for me to sell it to a person. Hey, look, I have younger children now. And it was hard for me as somebody who was on the job for over a decade when I had Brody. It was hard for me to balance. I come to work and like, yo, the kids stayed up all night long. And they took care of me. Hey, man, we got you, bro, man. Go lay down. I'm like, man, he stayed up all night long. It was tough. That was years and years and years after building a relationship, honing my craft. And me and these guys are close at this point, and it took care of me. It would be incredibly hard for somebody to do that with 6 months on the job, with no time on the job. It's not to say that you can't be young and have kids and come on. We just need to set realistic expectations for people who do want to come on. Hey, man, you got to dive in a lot. I wouldn't suggest it. Hey, look, you know, I'm not afraid to say it. I wouldn't suggest it. If you just had a child, hey, don't go to probie school. It's not a good idea right now. It's going to be a rough gig for you. You know? I mean, and that's just the truth. It's a bad state of the fire service that when you feel like you're telling the guy's honest truth, you're like, wow, should I say that? But I mean, hey man, it is what it is. It's a lot that goes into it. So.
Yeah. So I'm just reading some of the comments that were on this last post. And this post is, if you look, it's like 3 posts ago or so. It was a short video clip promoting the episode on work-life balance or whatever, but you talked about different jobs, one being a doctor, right, with that work-life balance. And then he was here. And this is addressed to you, Brandon, that you clearly don't know any doctors. They're dying for work-life balance, especially residents. Sometimes literally the numbers of physician suicides are outrageous. Now, you know, I can totally agree with that. Same with the fire service, right? They go hand in hand, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but like we've talked about, there's an element to success behind the early stages of that. Your response back was, I know a couple. And sadly, you're not completely incorrect. Anytime, though, you embark on a journey with such stakes, the expectation should be set realistically. And the best of them to know the obsessive drive it takes to be successful. So imagine your doctors having chosen a career because how many days off they'll get, or your lawyer with no ties to his local bar association, or a pro athlete who only makes his required drills. Not to say it's impossible to exist in those realms, but your method but won't be your choice to care for your family, and it won't be the guy you cheer for. The amount of dedication you put in the beginning will be very indicative of how the rest of your career will go. So let me ask you, in a scenario that you have advice to a person who's starting a job, who you know one day will be the rescue from, excuse me, who will know one day will come rescue you with the words for them be, A, be all in, submerge yourself in the beginning, and you will learn balance, or B, go be a firefighter, you get tons of time off from work. And that's, it's kind of hard to see because I'm blind and I'm reading this, but I think you get the gist of what we're talking about. And I read that, and right away I text you and said, bro, come on live, let's talk, because there's so much value out, I feel like, you know? I mean, that's it. That's it. Who do you want coming to get you? Who do you want coming to get your child? You know, and they always say, there's a slogan out there, it says, be the fireman that your kids think you are.
Yeah,
like, be that quote-unquote hero that kids look up to. But there's so much to that. Be the fireman that you want coming to help the ones you love.
Yeah.
And by taking a day off because you don't want to be all in, you don't buy into the brotherhood. I don't know. Again, I'm not sure this job's for you. And that's okay. Like, I'm not saying that by any means you're a coward, the fire service is not for you. But it is a unique, it is a unique way of life.
Yes.
I don't think it's a healthy way of life, but I promise you, and I've said it before, you take care of this job, you love it, you nourish it. It takes care of you tenfold for you and your family down the road.
Yeah.
But you have to be able and willing to put in and do the work the right way.
You talk about niche. It's very that for us in a small segment of careers in America, and I mentioned some of them in a comment. Will that actually be beneficial for you? And that same segment of jobs requires the same sort of people. I was talking about obsessive drive, and I like to say, Jonah, I know a few people who are pro athletes. And you think firemen have an obsessive drive? Those people have an obsessive drive. The only difference between that athlete, that doctor, that lawyer is that, again, when it comes to recruitment efforts, they don't say anybody can do this. And that's one thing that we just need to delete from our language when we talk about people. Anybody who is willing to do this can do this. But, man, you really have to set the expectation of what you have to be willing to do. You said something earlier I wanted to tell you about. Like, in, you know, the moments that I spend away from my family, from my kids, I'm still being an example. I don't know what they'll grow up to do. But when it's finally said and done, and I finally hang up the jacket for the last time, and the guys who are my friends are telling my kids about what kind of guy their dad was, it certainly ain't gonna be that he was a slack ass and he wasn't the guy who I wanted to come help me at my fire. That ain't the reputation that I'm setting. You see what I'm saying? So even though I'm not here, I'm doing something right now. I'm building something for you. Example wise, you know, the work-life balance. I mean, listen, man, let's be honest. The schedule ain't really that grand. Cause if I work overtime, I'm only home one day that week. You know, the pay is what it is. It's cool. The schedule ain't that great, but I'm putting into something that's greater than me, and I'm not doing it just for me neither. So when you're able to look at it like that, you know, to me it's something great. They say, well, dad did this, dad did that. That's good. That's setting an example. Even if you grow up to be an accountant, if you follow my example, I hope you be the best accountant that exists, because, you know, I wasn't trying to stop. I was putting all I had into it. So I think that there's something to be said for that. And I think that the level of expectation that we set for people who walk in that back door should just be realistic. We should hold it with as much pride and what's the word I'm looking for? Like, hold it in high a value as the people who are pro athletes, the people who are doctors, the people who are lawyers. And we should hold ourselves in the same amount of esteem, this job, at the same amount of esteem and even higher than those. You know, that's just my opinion.
I fully believe paying your volunteer when the tones go off, we are professional athletes at the highest level. I mean, think about what we're actually doing. We're the term's tactical athlete, but I don't think we're so much a tactical athlete. We're more of a tactical gets away from the word mindset, and I think there's so much more mindfulness to this job than we portray to be. So that's important as well. I was packing to come on this trip, and my daughter comes in the room and says, "Oh, you're going away again." And I said, "Yeah," and that breaks my heart. And I hope that someday I'll be able to sit down and without any words have her tell me she understood and understands what I was doing all these times I was traveling. I was building something for them multiply. This is not about me. It's about spreading the good word of the fire service. But when it's all said and done, it's 100% about my family. So work-life balance is hard because, there is no balance when you're trying to do something the right way, I feel like, And that's, you invest here a little bit and then you take away from the family side. You invest the family side and you take away from this side. So what's more important? Obviously, family is always more important. But if we're building something, if you're building a career, you have to be able to invest in it. You said something about professional athletes being at a certain level. I'm sure most of us, if not everyone, has seen the documentary with the Chicago Bulls, The Last Dance. Tremendous. But in the very first episode, MJ sits there and he breaks down emotionally because he was so overtaking talking about how much intensity he brought and how it overcame his body, and there's so much to that. Now, I'm not saying that we all have to be Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, these absolute professional of the professional, but you have to have a ceiling, and everyone's ceiling is different. And everyone's talent level is to a certain expectation. But when you have that ceiling, you have to be able to bring your A game and hit that ceiling every time you come to work. You can't come and leave a little bit in the tank. You got to come in and hit that ceiling. And everyone's ceiling's different, right? We're not all Michael Jordan. We're not all Kobe Bryant. We got to be able to have that understanding of what that level is and max out every time. And the more and more you max out that ceiling, your ceiling will get bigger and bigger and bigger to eventually you're playing in a large arena.
Yeah. I think that that's a thing for not only you talk about being all in, it's one of those things that we talked about being all in when you come on, but even staying all in, man. I mean, you can't, it's not a way. If something happens, let's put it like this. If what's the phrase, say knock on wood. If something happens to you bad on this job and you can go back and give yourself advice, would the person who was not all in, how much would they feel like they left on the table? You know what I mean? I hope nothing ever happens to me, obviously, but if it does, I'll know it wasn't because I just decided that I just didn't feel like putting into it. You know what I mean? It won't be one of those things. Your family can't look at you. Even you think about your family. Your family, my family knows what daddy puts into the job. My wife knows what her husband puts into the job. On a day that whatever, anything happens to you, they won't say, "Wow, I wish he would have got off the couch and tried a little harder." You know what I mean? And that has to be something. Like you said, you can't train too hard for a job that'll kill you. You just can't. It's not a way that you can be. It's not something that you can do halfway and then enjoy the same reward. You can do it halfway, but you won't enjoy the same reward. Or you can do it halfway, but you'll be a liability to the people around you. So it's up to you and me and people like us who have any amount of platform. I don't care if it's two firemen that hear what I got to say today and they say, "Okay, hey man, let's start putting more into it. We need to put more into the job." if it's two people with that level of influence, it's up to us to say, we need to hold ourselves in higher esteem. We need to keep our standard high. We need to put more into the job. We need to be realistic about our expectations. We need to be realistic to the people who are coming on the job. I'm not going to sell this to nobody and say this is an easy gig. You might be on the back of my wagon one day, and we don't want that because it's not an easy gig here, you know? So it's just one of those things, man. I feel like, you know, when we start to put ourselves out there, when we start to market this career, market it in a way that holds us in such high esteem that we only get people who would naturally do the things that we're talking about. You put all in sports, but you didn't make it to the NFL, good enough. Bring yourself over to the fire department, give it that same kind of energy, it'd be the best choice you ever made in your life. You gave it all you could in basketball, but you broke your ankle in senior year, you couldn't play anymore? Cool. Come and give that to the fire department and watch how it changes your whole life. You know?
Yeah, you know, there's so many ex-professional athletes that almost got there, right? I know at least five that I've worked with throughout my career that are, to me, professional athletes, but in their mind, they just almost made it.
Yeah.
To me, they made it, you know? But, and they found that love in the fire service because they understood about teamwork, something bigger than yourself, and being all in. Something you said just now, a few minutes ago, actually, was about coming on the job and remaining a student, right? So, and always being all in throughout. I think that, you know, we naturally overestimate our ability in the short game. So we come on, we think that we know a lot more than we really do. And then we overestimate our skill in the long game. So we think as the long we go, we think we're even that much better. So it's just, you know, it's that slogan of like, always be a student, right? So I'm at this conference now. I'll sit in that classroom and listen to everybody speak for the time I'm here. And I'll take notes. That's just the way you do it. And not only is it a sign of respect for the other people that are sharing their experiences, but there's so much to be taken. Even if it's one little piece of advice or one thing that just kind of stands out, it was worth it. And right. I think that's where, you know, we get the guys that choose that work-life balance, that where they're in the firehouse, they're not really all in because they had a bad night and they want to take the next day off or they go to prepare the meal instead of making the meal, they go order out. These are all the little things, the details that I feel that it's coming from a different generation. So that's my friend Brandon Lewis. He's an officer in Atlanta Fire Rescue. Great friend of mine. Just an all-around great guy. I'll be teaching with him next weekend in Fairhope, Alabama at the Southern Alabama hands-on training event. I think, the fourth year I've been doing it. It's 5 years total, maybe, but great lineup, great instructors, and a really great time. So I know it's sold out, but if you are in the Southern Alabama area, Fairhope, Gulf Shores area, there's a social on Friday night in Fairhope, and that'll be something that, if as a fundraiser or something like that. But it's going to be a good time. Great guys. So that's it, guys. So again, I'm on the road. I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I'll be doing a few of these episodes from the road. Because I want to keep getting this content to you. I don't want to take any time off when I am traveling. So sound quality might not be all there, but I feel that the information is. So, all right, guys. So, again, Mickey Farrell, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you soon. Thanks.